There was a time when I was in the ministry that I probably would have not preached on seasonal things just to kind of make the point. I don't have to. But as I've gotten older and an old softy and an old grandpa and, you know, studied the Word of God more, I find myself being drawn to some seasonal things because it's very much on my mind. And so I want to talk to you about something seasonal regarding Christmas. And if you would turn to Micah, the 4th chapter. And if you've heard some of these thoughts before regarding the subject that I have on my mind, then just forgive me. The Lord has laid this on my heart, and I have to go with what's on my mind and on my heart. It'd be hard to preach something that's not on your mind. But I want to talk to you about the tower of the flock. Micah 4 and 8. The tower of the flock. In the Hebrew, it's known as the Migdal Eder. Migdal means tower, and Eder means the gathering of a flock. And if you think about the traditional idea of where Christ was born, the manger scene, the barn, the animals, and so forth, I hope this will insert an additional thought into the place and the manner in which he came into the world when he took on flesh, when he was born into the world. Let's read in Micah 4 and 8. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom, shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now watch the language carefully, because if what this is teaching us is about the birth of Christ, you don't want to miss the connectivity, the connection between what's going on here of a baby being born into the world. Notice the language. He's just mentioned the tower of the flock, which I will explain to you what that is in just a moment. Now why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. That's a woman giving birth. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. There it is again. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city. Notice the language. And thou shalt dwell in the field. And thou shalt go even to Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. The entire chapter of the 4th chapter, if we had time to read it all, is about a gathering of the nations of the world in submission to the King of Kings. And the point that's being focused on here, we know, is the birth of Christ. You say, how do we know that, Brother Tim? Because you read on down into chapter 5 and verse 2, and he says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. There's another reference to a birth. Travailing in pain to give birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. So these verses in Micah 4 and 5 are focused on the birth of Christ. If you need one further proof, it references that in the New Testament. It says that this is the fulfilling of Christ being born in Bethlehem. The angel says that in the book of Matthew. So what you have here set forth is a birth. And this is a prophecy of the birth of Christ. Now, the traditional idea of where Christ was born makes me think of my mom's little porcelain nativity scene that she had when we were growing up. It was kind of a large nativity scene. It was porcelain. It was white. And we would get it out every year from the attic, and we'd set it up, and we'd even, you know, have to put some hay from the hay barn around it. And Brother Chris and I, when we were very small, you know, we enjoyed setting that little tiny porcelain baby, you know, in the tiny porcelain manger, and the camels and the donkeys and the little sheep, you know, the Mary, Joseph, you know, it really disturbed me through the years, because we would often break things on that, and it would get smaller and smaller through the years. And sometimes the cow would have 3 legs, you know, because we broke it off and couldn't glue it back. And, you know, I always worried, you know, I hope we don't ever break baby Jesus. You know, he's a little bitty, tiny little porcelain thing. But that's my mentality. That's my vision growing up of the manger scene, of the nativity. And look, I'm not here to throw off on that. And I'm not here to say that's absolutely incorrect or wrong. But there is another possibility here of where Christ was born. And I don't mind telling you, I'm not ashamed to admit that Brother David Crawford had put me on to this Jewish convert from the 1800s named Alfred Edersheim. Edersheim was born in Vienna, Austria, to Jewish parents. He's a biblical scholar. He converted to Christianity. He actually moved to Hungary, where he encountered a man who was a pastor in the Free Church of Scotland. He actually was there, just happened to be from Scotland, working on a bridge being constructed over the River Danube. It's a really interesting providential connection, how this Jewish man encountered this pastor from the Free Church of Scotland, and eventually he moved to Scotland and became a Free Church of Scotland pastor. That's Alfred Edersheim. And he has the rich, rich knowledge of the Jewish people. And the stuff that he writes is just, it has overwhelmed me at times. This is one of those things that has certainly is scholarly, it's accurate historically, it's contextual, and it's just amazing. And Edersheim, in his writings, wrote about the Tower of the Flock and what that may have been. Now, we know that the Tower of the Flock existed. You could read about it in Genesis, the 35th chapter. It is the area that Jacob dwelt in after Rachel died. Rachel died in the area of Bethlehem, really before Bethlehem was anything like it was in the days of Christ. It was, goodness, over 1,000 years before Christ came. But Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin, and they buried Rachel in the area of Bethlehem. And it says that Jacob dwelt near Bethlehem, near the Tower of Adar, or Eder, which is the Tower of the Flock. It's the same word in the Hebrew. And so it's believed initially that the Tower of the Flock was a place constructed, maybe out of stones. Obviously, stones would last longer than wood. But the shepherds in that area constructed a tower overlooking some of the fields near Bethlehem. And they watched their flocks by night from the tower. And they also gathered their flocks close to the tower for security and defense, because there were wolves and lions in some of those days, and coyotes and different things, foxes even, that would attack their herds and take away the lambs of the flock. So they built a sort of a fortress, a tower, where they could watch over the flock. That's historically accurate. That's not conjecture. And so eventually it is believed that the Tower of the Flock came to be the birthing place of the mother sheep. The ewes that were great with sheep, they would take them into this area that was sterile and clean, and the sheep, the mother sheep, would birth their sheep, their baby lambs, in the Tower of the Flock. That's also historically accurate. And this was near Bethlehem, and it eventually became the area in which historically it is believed that the king's flocks were kept. You know, David was from Bethlehem, remember? And he became the king, and he kept his flocks around the area of Bethlehem after he became the king. He had shepherds that took care of those flocks. And they came to birth their baby lambs into the sterile environment of the Tower of the Flock. So it's very significant. I mean, you know, every word in the Word of God is there for a purpose. The Tower of the Flock is there for a purpose. Now, some say that the Tower of the Flock is a reference to Christ himself. I don't have a problem with that. He certainly stands above, for sure. And some say that the Tower of the Flock here is a reference to Jerusalem, which had the Temple Mount. But that's kind of far away from Bethlehem. That's going to be several miles away from Bethlehem. There's no question that the Tower of the Flock existed. There's no question that historically it's where the shepherds watched over their flocks. And there's no question historically that it's a place that became the birthing place for the baby lambs in a sterile environment. And they also had strips of cloth there that they swaddled the lambs in when they were born so they would not injure themselves. So the King James translation is superior, far superior to any translation that's out there, because most of the modern translations say something about strips of cloth or, you know, strips of something. But it is swaddling garments. It is swaddling strips of cloth that they used to wrap the baby lambs in so they wouldn't hurt themselves with their sharp hooves or fall over and, you know, break a leg or something, because these lambs were destined for sacrifice. This was the closest place that you could go to when you came to the Passover or you came to one of the feasts, and you had to buy, you couldn't bring your flocks and your sacrifices from where you lived. You had to travel from where you lived and go to Jerusalem. And when you went to Jerusalem, you had to take the money that you had and buy lambs and sheep for the sacrifices. And the closest place to do that were the fields of Bethlehem, where some of the best quality sheep could be found. So these sheep that were being born in the tower of the flock were the best of the best of the best. And what we read here about the tower of the flock, there's some kind of birth going on. He speaks of a woman being in travail. He speaks of one who is in pain. And one, I also like verse 10 there in Micah 4, where it says that, "For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field." That makes me think of Luke, the second chapter, where Mary was great with child, and they traveled from Nazareth for the census to be taken, to be taxed with Mary, Joseph with Mary, his espoused wife, and they could find no place in the city, so they went out into the field. They went somewhere, and it was either in a barn connected to a house, or it was in somebody's, you know, stable near there, or could it be that it was actually in the tower of the flock, that sterile environment where lambs were birthed? I believe that's where the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Now, in Micah, we have Micah prophesying about this 500 to 600 years before Christ come. The first time you read about the tower of the flock, Migdal Eder, is more than 1,000 years before Micah, in the days of Jacob, when he dwelt there after Rachel died. And as I said, the definition of the tower of the flock is a raised structure that was lifted up to ward off enemies and to gather the flocks at night. And the shepherds would watch them. Now, this is something else interesting that I found in researching and studying about the tower of the flock and the sheepfolds that were near the area of Bethlehem. If you read, whether it was in December or whether it was in April, you know, nobody knows for sure the exact time. But it's interesting to read that some of the Jewish history tells us that these flocks were kept by night year round. And that makes sense when you read Luke, the second chapter. It says there were shepherds watching their flocks by night. And it's believed that the flocks that were used the most in the temple sacrifices were produced, you know, out. They were kept out in the field year round. So there was a constant cycle of these sheep being born, these lambs being born. They were in a, it was almost like a 24/7 kind of job that they had to do in shifts. And it says that these shepherds were out there by night. So instead of being a seasonal thing, you could come to this area and year round, there were sheep available. Now, I want you to notice in Micah 5 and 2 that it says Bethlehem Ephratah. Bethlehem means house of bread. Ephratah would be like the sub name of that particular community. That's how we know there were several Bethlehems. It is believed villages that were near and in this area. But Bethlehem Ephratah was the place where David, the king, was born. Bethlehem Ephratah was the place where Christ was born. No question it was in Bethlehem. No question it was Bethlehem Ephratah. And then the question is, how does the tower of the flock play into that? Look to Luke, the second chapter. I want to ask a couple questions as we close our thoughts here this morning. Luke, the second chapter. Let's begin reading in verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. This caused Joseph to have to travel with his wife, his espoused wife Mary, from Nazareth," which was a long ways to travel, especially when your wife, your future wife, was expecting a baby, expecting the Son of God. "And so they went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he, Joseph, was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." She's 9 months pregnant, and she's due. "And she brought forth her firstborn son." It's really interesting how there's a vagueness about the details of where they were and what was going on. It, like Brother Luke was talking to us this morning about discipleship, you know, these things require a careful study of the Word of God. That's what the Lord intended, that you would carefully study and put together these glorious, incredible events and truth that's contained in the Word of God. You know, you don't just pass over it and, well, that was neat. No, engage it. Grapple with it. You know, ask the Lord to guide you in it. Don't just think, well, it's just something that I can pass by and understand. You know, there's so much vagueness here. You need to study Micah. You need to study Isaiah. You need to study the prophecies of the Lord's coming. And it just says, she was due and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Not just any type of garment, but if you look at the definition, it's strips of garment that were used to wrap the paws and the legs of the baby lambs. I don't know if you've ever seen when a calf or a lamb or something has been born. A lot of times they'll just think about when a baby is born. You know, I can remember we thought the face of some of our babies were scarred forever because they had these sharp little fingernails that would grow so fast, you know, and they, you know, they couldn't control their hands and they scratch themselves across the face. You think it's going to scar forever. Praise God, it didn't. But what would you do? You would take those little hands, and now they make these little garments that cover over their hands where all they can do, they can't cut themselves with their sharp little talons, you see? And that's for little babies. Little lambs and calves also are the same way. And those little lambs, they had these sharp little talons that needed to be trimmed and needed to be cut, and they would swaddle them so that they would not blemish themselves. Because you know what happened if you blemished yourself as a lamb was blemished? Couldn't use it in the temple sacrifice. They had to be almost perfect, pure, unblemished, unscarred. Because that's what Jehovah demanded, was an unscarred sacrifice. So she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So wherever he is, he's in a feed trough for a baby crib, and he's swaddled in the clothing, the strips of cloth that are used to restrain and maintain those baby lambs. Very significant language. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. These were night shepherds. They were not just ones sitting in the tower of the flock watching over their herds, but these were year-round shepherds, a special class of shepherds who knew that they were charged with raising lambs and sheep that were destined for temple sacrifice. And they were very attentive to what they were doing. And on this particular night, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, what an amazing connection between heaven and earth. You know, last night we were riding home from having traveled, and as we were traveling back home, we were driving on the interstate, and all of a sudden I looked up, and Sister Tracy and I in the front, we saw this. It was just a fireball coming across, way up in the sky, across the interstate. And it looked like a plane that was exploding and breaking up because it had pieces coming around it. I wasn't quick enough to get my phone up to take a picture of it. I think Brother Asher did. I think Sister Madison did. But it was a fireball, comet or something, meteor, you know, burning into the atmosphere. It's the biggest one I've ever seen. And it was just stunning. And it made me think, you know, what is this? Is this, you know, are we fixing to see the Lord come back? Is it just, you know, is it going to crash on us? I mean, but it was there. Everybody saw it. I said, look, and you could see it just streak across the sky. You know, in the dark of the night when you don't expect things to happen and all of a sudden, boom, something like that happens. It's startling. It caused a little bit of fear to come into my heart. I thought, well, I hope it's not a plane. I don't think it was a plane. But it was a comet or a meteor or something burning into the atmosphere. It was amazing. I got a picture of it if you want to see it. Happy to share. But these shepherds are out there in the middle of nowhere in the dark at night watching over their flocks. And all of a sudden, the whole place lights up like a gigantic comet. Like it lights up the sky. And then this angel begins to speak to them. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, that was Bethlehem, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the King of kings, has come to the earth in flesh. And here's the sign given to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, a feed trough. And it says, after those angels disappeared, that the shepherds said within themselves, verse 15, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. See, they knew it was the city of David. And see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath known, made known unto us. And they came with haste. And they knocked on the door of every house and barn in Bethlehem hours upon hours upon hours until they finally found the right place. Is that what it says? They knew exactly where to go. Y'all understand that? They knew exactly where to go. They went to the tower of the flock, and they found the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a feed trough in a manger. How ironic is that? How much irony do you see in the fact that if the Lord Jesus Christ was born in the tower of the flock, if he was born there, that the Lamb of God, the perfect, unspotted, unblemished Lamb of God, would come to the place where the sacrificial lambs were birthed, destined for the temple, destined to bleed and die. How much irony do you see in that? That if, in fact, the Son of God came into the world and first saw the light of day at the Tower of the Flock, how perfect is that? I know we'll have the answer finally and fully when we get to heaven. But the Tower of the Flock is in there for a reason. And the Tower of the Flock was the birthing place for the sacrificial lambs. And I believe with all my heart that that's where the Lord came into this world, was in the Tower of the Flock. I'm not going to be upset with anybody if they don't believe that and they want to go with mom's porcelain manger scene. That's fine. But there is some significance, deep, deep significance to the Tower of the Flock. As you go through your Christmas experience this week, as you exchange gifts, as you eat, as you fellowship, I hope that you'll think about the significance of the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb, coming into the world and taking on flesh. He didn't just stay baby Jesus. He came in as baby Jesus. He grew up to be the man Christ Jesus. And when the time was right, he went to the cross, and as the sacrificial Lamb, the perfect Lamb of God, ordained before the foundation of the world to give his life as a ransom for all of his little disobedient chosen sheep. I hope you'll think about that. And maybe Christmas will mean more than just a tree or lights on a tree or a wreath. It's the most significant thing that's ever happened. And I agree 100% with what Brother Luke said. We learn more in times of stress and distress than we do when things are just going well. But that doesn't mean we can't learn in those times when things are going well. And I hope it goes well for you this week. And I hope you'll pause and just think about the Lamb of God coming into the world. If there's one or more here that would like to follow the Lord this week of Christmas, there's no better time to make that known, and there's no better place than in the Church of God.